Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint Radio Podcast. Tune into our weekly radio show. For more information, go to checkpointradio.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint Podcast on the Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint Radio Show. My name is Nate Bender. I'm joined by the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
What up?
Over at the drop board, Norris Howard.
They're player haters.
And over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan.
It's like to be here.
So we challenged our audience to leave us 60 reviews inside of a year. We got 30. The year before, we wanted to try to double that inside of this year, and I'm glad to report that we have even more new reviews since last week, and I think that we've got to kind of like double up on the reviews here to be able to get through them at least, you know, temporarily.
Well, but you promised that we would get to read the one-star review this week.
That is true. I did promise that. But here's the thing. So we don't want it to be a deterrent for you to go and leave your reviews over at iTunes. It is a really great way for our show to become more visible on the iTunes marketplace. We definitely want that. So please leave your feedback over on the podcast reviews at iTunes so that we can read them here on the show. So what I know that we promised the one-star review, we'll get to that, but why don't we start with the positive review that we got from X Craze M Cash.
That's right. He says, if you're looking for a gaming talk show, look no further. The hosts have engaging discussions, a plethora of knowledge and interest, work very well together, and the production values are top-notch.
Yeah, Kevin!
From the opening credits to the closing music, every second is an obvious labor of love from the crew with interest and engaging things to talk about every week.
Aww. Thank you so much. That is a huge compliment, because it really is. Like, even when we do post-production on the show, there's a lot of thought and effort that goes into it, whether it's, you know, finding a remix that's appropriate for that segment. You know, we do try to think about that a lot. And I always wonder, because it's one of the things you don't hear a lot of feedback on from people, right? Like, people never really go like, oh yeah, I listen to your show and the music is really fantastic. Like, every once in a while I might get that, but
sure.
It's one of the things that I spend a lot of time thinking about and a lot of time actually working on every single week. So it's nice to know that somebody noticed that. So
thank you kindly.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much, X Craze M Cash. Now we've got to get to the one star review.
Yes, I'm so excited. This is from Tiago.
Tiago.
It says, I was a big fan of these guys when they were still doing Final Encounter Cast, old podcast we used to do.
Yep.
I love that they focus more on the types of games and their discussions were more exciting. I can't stand listening to Checkpoint. I've tried 4 times and I just hate it. It feels like everyone just sits there and agrees with Nate the entire time. That's Robbie, to be fair.
What?
I was excited when they brought in Norris. I thought he was someone I could relate to more, but I don't think he knows how to say anything else besides that's lit.
Oh,
also,
damn.
Also, navigating the podcast page now is so annoying. I was trying to find new episodes of Limit Break Radio, also another podcast we do, and all I saw was Checkpoint this and Checkpoint that. I don't want Checkpoint. I don't care about esports. Bring back Final Encounter Cast.
Okay, so,
man, listen, to quote Jay-Z, dog, if you want the old shit, go buy the old albums.
Yeah.
The old episodes of FEC are still
available.
Go listen to them shit.
We just renewed FinalEncounterCast.com for another year, so if you really like it, go back to listening to that. But here's the thing, and you know, I think that this is kind of interesting, because they said that they can't find new episodes of LBR, and they left the comment specifically on the Checkpoint Radio podcast feed, which is how it got back to us. So maybe you're looking at the wrong feed. You do know that there is a Limit Break Radio only feed out there. So just saying, if that's what you're looking for, which I feel like we're talking a lot about our other podcasts right now, but if that's what you're looking for, you can go find that. But
I know, but you ended up at Checkpoint Radio, so it is
here
what
you
it
are.
Is, but you know,
and now
it's lit.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd like to agree with Nate on that point.
Anyway, all right. So this week for the podcast, we had one final bit of unfinished business when it came
I like that.
To unfinished E3 2018, business. Right?
Yeah. We've been putting off.
That's right. We put out all of the interviews last week. We had our show
about OWL.
That's right. We talked about OWL. We had our show from the floor, but there's been this little thing that we've been meaning to talk
about. The elephant in the room.
When it comes to E3 2018.
I'm sure I call it a little thing. It felt like a pretty big thing for the 5-6 days we were out there.
In the poorly decorated, dubious murder room.
So, here's the thing. All right. So, when we were out at E3 2018, and if you follow us over at twitch.tv/checkpointradio, you probably already know this because you probably watched some of those videos that we did as we were having to watch some of the press conferences that we couldn't get into. For example, Christine, our producer, was able to get into the Bethesda conference, got wined and dined and treated to the best showcase of them all.
How nice for her.
Complete with an Andrew fucking WK performance.
Remember, she got like the glow bracelet too?
Oh, God.
And open bar.
It still makes me so salty. And we had to stay in our ramshackle murder hotel
with the fleas
while and watch it on a laptop hooked to the shitty TV.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we did broadcast a couple of times from the hotel room. You can go back. You can actually see evidence of what this, how terrible this room actually was.
They had an extension cord that was part of the permanent electrical work.
Yes. It was an extension cord that
over the ceiling.
That was stapled over the door frame.
Yep.
That went into a plug on the other side of the room.
That's right. So, okay. So, has anyone played L.A. Noire?
Yes.
Okay. So, it's like one of the safe houses in L.A. Noire.
Not one of the good ones either.
And it seems like it hasn't... it hasn't updated from that era either. Like, right? Like
they built the hotel
in like the 60s.
You're being so kind of, you're still being so euphemistic, man. The 60s, bro. No, this was pre-war. Okay. This is pre-war.
And it looks like it hadn't been updated since the war.
Exactly. So,
I take that back. They at least put a flat panel television in the room.
All right. So check this out, which I'm not understanding. All right, is you walk into basically the hallway of the reception area from The Shining, right?
And it did look like
it did a little
and
bit.
You go to the desk, and the lady helped us out. We had some mix-ups with the rooms or whatever.
But
that was sorted out. The one thing I will not besmirch is the staff that we did encounter with, albeit not as often as one would hope to encounter staff in a hotel, but. We encountered
you actually encountered staff outside of the person who checked this in because
no, that is the only staff person I am talking about.
Okay, all right.
And they were not mean.
No, they were not.
Except
for because
you had to pay $200 to get
$300.
Guys, historic 1912 Stillwell Hotel. So that was built in 1912.
That was pre both the wars.
And it looks every bit like it.
It sure does. So after checking into the hotel and paying an additional $300 to make sure that all four of us could sleep in the room, we escort ourselves up to our room.
Yeah.
And the first thing that you notice is the terrifying half elevators that you have to take up to the sixth floor.
There's a half elevator and then like a third elevator because one of them's smaller than the other one.
Yes, we're talking about the gross half elevator that had the little abnormal growth coming out of it.
Look, let's be completely honest. That second elevator was an aborted attempt at a real elevator.
Like here's the confusing thing because if a normal elevator doors are like this big, right? Like two, as wide as my hands are for those that are watching on the stream. It was half of that, right? It was like a single one of those.
And then when you walked in, there was like this lip that came out in the back of it.
Yeah.
That made that area even smaller.
It opened up to a slightly larger area once inside. Yeah. It was slightly bigger on the inside, but not by much.
The elevator door was just a standard door frame.
Yeah.
That's all it was. That was the size of it. It was a door frame.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yet still somehow
it wasn't lined up with the door frame though. Let's be clear about
but
that.
Either way, the motherfucker worked and we got
it
up to the floor.
It worked
the first time.
Worked as a
I'm going in chronological order here.
No, Norris is right because that aborted one worked more often than the
normal looking one.
Quote unquote normal looking
one. Yeah, that's true. Listen, it didn't matter which elevator you got in because both looked like UFC matches had happened
right,
inside.
That's
of
fair.
It.
That's fair.
Right, like
with blood and bullet holes.
I'm not sure if there was a bullet hole, but there definitely looked like there was a knuckle dent in one of the doors.
Okay, yeah, for sure, there was knuckle dent.
A fight happened in one of the holes.
Absolutely, a few fights.
And the up and down arrows were like pushed in maliciously.
Yeah,
like you had some intense psycho who was like, "I hate arrows," and just like I don't know what he did. He just like pushed him inside. Nothing lit up when you pushed a floor, so you could have gone to every single floor and had no idea.
This is on top of the general musty smell.
Throughout the entire building. This hotel was built long before anti-smoking was a thing.
Yes.
Right.
And you can tell.
Well, and now, so we get up to the sixth floor, and the elevator doors open, and the first thing that you're hit with was just this overwhelming scent of tobacco. And you're thinking in your head, all right, well, it's probably not going to be a big deal if we smoke weed in this room. So as we usher our things down the incredibly narrow hallway.
It was strangely narrow.
Probably not up to fire code.
Well, it wasn't the 1910s.
Hallway. Maybe, yes.
Let's just say that our friend Chris probably wouldn't have been too comfortable walking down those halls.
Yes. So we get to one door and we pass it, and there's an eviction notice on the handle. And you kind of want, you see that and you go, where the fuck am I? Like, where exactly the fuck am I? Because
we were in a halfway house, Nate. That's where we were.
For divorced dads, right?
Yes,
like, this is where you go before you've collected your things from your ex-wife's house.
Aww.
And you need some place to be able to collect yourself, right? Like, that's what this place is.
Yep.
And here's the thing, is that eviction notice never moved in the 6 days that we were there.
Sure didn't.
That door looked like it didn't open, which means that I have to suspect that whoever's inside there was inside there the entire time.
Yes.
Like, they're in there going, you can hang all the eviction notices you want. I ain't getting out of this motherfucker.
Or they're dead.
Let me tell you something. What has to have
another
happened
possibility
for you to not only be stuck staying? Can we say the name of this place? Is that fine?
I don't know. Rick is in the chat. Rick, how do you feel about us us revealing the name of the hotel? Anyway, go on.
For
now.
I just want to know what has to have happened for you to be at a spot where you're not only staying at this dumpster fire of a hotel, you're getting evicted from it. That is not a good place to be.
It's not a good place to be.
No, man. It sure isn't.
But anyway, so
we continue further down the hall towards the room that we're actually staying in.
Did you guys notice the door that, I don't know what it was, but some type of like plants or weed or something that was like taped to the door, like some type of herbs? Did you see that one?
That was sage.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's
old gypsy remedy to keep ghosts away.
I'm pretty sure it's actually a practice of the Jewish faith, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right.
I think. But anyway, okay, so apparently we had mentioned it earlier, so Rick said go for it. Here's the thing. I think if you want to know in the chat if the name of this hotel so that you can avoid it.
Experience it yourself.
Toss a couple of bits in. Let us know exactly how much you want to know to avoid this specific hotel. But anyway, so we get closer.
We haven't even gotten to our room yet.
Yeah, right. We haven't even gotten to the room yet. So we get closer to the room. And directly across the hall from us is a door emitting from it is Santana played on what I had to imagine was a shitty record player.
Yeah.
And
you could practically see the weed smoke coming out the door.
Yes. And a very pungent odor of weed. And I went, all right, that seals it. We're finding a dispensary now.
The stickiest of the icky.
That's right. And so, you know,
Rick gave us a bit.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it. We finally get into our humble abode, our palace for the next 6 days, and there are two what I'll call generously queen beds. They were probably like
twin and a half. Felt like sleeping on a slab.
That were probably the Robbie, you slept on the floor couple of nights.
I slept in the bed one night.
The first night with me.
No, bro. You forget. The first night, I slept on all the suitcases pushed together.
and you thanked us for it. He's like, thanks for letting me use the suitcases, guys.
Okay, because when you walked in and you, first of all, you looked at the carpet, and the carpet clearly had been the carpet that sat under another carpet at some point.
Yes.
Redecorators were like, well, I ain't pulling up too.
Yeah. That explains exactly how the stains that were on there happened.
Because the sticky spot?
Yeah, they weren't direct stains. They were like secondary stains.
Yeah.
That explains it, Norris. There was another carpet in there where there was likely a murder, They had to take the carpet out, and that was what had dripped down to the padding, which I can only assume that's what
was. You see these beds, and these beds clearly look rife and ready for bed bug infestation. Yeah. So I made a check. All right, because I came in and I told these guys, I said, listen, my sensibilities, this is an affront to all of my shit, and I got to do it. So I cut the flashlight on my phone, and I did a thorough bed bug check. I had to, man, because it's like you were walking through and you came in and the smell combined with the lack of light combined, you know, just with the general...
Well, I think the bed bugs got evicted, so we didn't have to worry about those.
Compared with just the general outlook of everything, I had to do a check. Luckily,
I swear to God, when we were opening the door, I thought for a second, there's a good chance that there's someone else that's already in here.
Yeah.
They double booked our room or some shit.
Norris, let me tell you something. Bed bugs were too good for those beds. Those beds were not comfortable enough to house bed bugs.
You're right, because I think I would have been more comfortable sleeping on particle board. They were ridiculously uncomfortable beds, not helped in any way by the fact that they would not give us more pillows. Like, we even asked for more pillows, and they were like, no more pillows.
What motherfucking pillows? There are no more pillows. They can't give us no more pillows. See, we're lucky we had those prison-ass pillows.
Prison pillows is right.
Well, yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. The reason I couldn't sleep on the bed for more than one night is even with the pillow under your head, I still felt like the middle of my back was elevated higher than my head was.
Oh, I thought it was because of me. Oh, that's so nice of you, Robbie.
Thank you, Giraffley.
When
Christine joined us, we begged her, please, can you bring us some fucking pillows, please?
Pillows and sleeping bags.
Which Christine, by the way, we really appreciated the pillows from your couch. That was awesome.
Really quick, Kuki actually put a comment of hers in here. She said, I want to add my hotel experience to this. The only thing that seemed spooky to me was one of the nights, I think on the first night on Monday, I kept waking up to screaming, but when I woke up, there was nothing. I kept waking up a few more times that night to more screaming and yelling, but nothing was going on every time I woke up, and everyone else was sleeping, and she swears she wasn't dreaming.
She mentioned that to me the next day where she's like, did you guys like have an argument at some point? I'm like,
no.
We slept like a rock.
Low key, literally. It was me. It was my snoring.
No.
That definitely
your snoring
is
very deep. By the way,
that's very weird.
That's just the apnea.
We're getting to the creepy aspects.
The creepy.
We have to finish the shitty aspects,
right?
Because
before we do the creepy. Yes.
We haven't talked about the bathroom because there were
Oh my god!
There were some really troubling aspects to the bathroom. Okay,
troubling is a great word for it.
Troubling.
Did anyone know that they still made packets of shampoo?
No.
Like, I thought that all of the packets of shampoo had been replaced with the bottles, right?
No, it's a shampoo packet.
Exactly, the kind that you have to like tear open with your teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the worst. I think I was the most insulting.
Hold on, Nate. You actually tore one of those open with your teeth?
Yes.
What was inside of it?
Shampoo.
Oh, okay.
Are you sure?
I thought it might be spiders.
Yeah, I wasn't willing to brave it.
You said, I'll buy my own shit. I wasn't about to use that stuff.
Yeah, I stole Norris's.
So the bathroom was literally the saddest bathroom.
And like, it was literally, okay, if you guys could see how small this desk is on live on Twitch stream, the bathroom was the size of where I'm sitting at.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. You had no room. I don't know how, Joe, you were able to take a shit ever. Because
without banging his head?
Yeah, or your knees against the goddamn sink.
This is true. To sit on that toilet, I actually, first, I had to
sit sideways.
Well, I had to Jenga myself into the seat first, like Tetris my way into it. And then I had to like bend, like lean down so I could get one leg down and then sit there like my legs like parted, like doing the splits. Wait, for those who don't know, I am about 6'4".
So taking a shower must have been even worse, because that shower head couldn't have been more than five feet high. Yes.
I had to kneel down. Well, you'll notice that the second day, if you went into the shower head was suddenly pointed outwards.
Yes.
Because that's what I had to do to get it to hit my neck.
Apparently, people in 1912 were way shorter.
They were Lilliputians, basically. Because the shower head, and again, I am a fraction of the height of Joe, right? I had to point it as far up as it could go to get it to hit, you know, my neck and face area.
Yeah.
And so you have that. And then I didn't even tell you guys this. So I go in and I cut the faucet on and a color came out.
No. Okay? Oh, no.
A color.
Why? Why didn't you tell us? I feel like that.
I showered in that.
That was absolutely information that I needed to know.
Nah, man. A color came out, bro.
Was it red?
No, it was not clear, is the point, Joe. It was not clear.
Yeah, anything not clear is fairly
unacceptable. That's true. You're right. Maybe the color doesn't actually matter.
So the last thing about this horrific
this
bathroom.
This is just the shitty part. We haven't even got to the whole other
to the paranormal.
Yeah.
We've got a whole other part here, guys. So hang tough. All right. So did anyone else notice the grate that was above the tub?
The body vent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That looked about the right size
for someone to
For the small Asian woman who checked us in when we checked in to like hide behind there with a little video camera. I am fully expecting to see myself somewhere on fatguysbathing.com or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
fat
like,
oddly specific, Nate.
Right? Like, I'm like, every time I would shower, I would be looking for the little red light. Like maybe the duct tape fell off today. But, like, it was fucking weird. Like, why do you need a vent that big?
Yeah.
Because guess what? It didn't help air out the goddamn bathroom at all.
That bathroom fogged up so fast.
I'll tell you what.
At all.
I'll tell you what. The only halfway functioning part of that hotel room was that little bullshit fridge that they had.
At least the fridge worked.
It worked.
Yeah, it functioned.
For the fridge to work required an extension cable to go across the top of the ceiling to get to it.
Yep. Okay, so let's...
Is there anything... One second. I feel like there's something else
we did get the bit, so we do have to say what hotel.
Oh, yeah. It's the Stillwell Hotel in L.A., in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah. So we'll read your review last,
Joe. You know, one of the things that I noticed was the windows just outside in the hallway, which you could open all the way up, had no screens or anything in them, so I think that they fully like accept the fact that people are probably going to come here to commit suicide. Like, if you're living here, you guys want to know where the evicted guy went. That's what happened.
I'm pretty sure like that you can't even do that in hotels anymore. Like, have windows that open all the way.
Yeah, no, I don't think
so. Pretty sure that is against federal law.
Just real quick,
there's a lot.
As I'm looking at my review on here, I'm just also seeing some other reviews that might back up what we're saying.
Okay,
Expedia reviewer says, hotel is definitely old and not renovated in the least, but the location and staff made it cozy. 5 out of 5.
I saw one.
Listen, location
was great.
I will give you. Yeah. Location was awesome.
I read one, Joe, that was a 1 star out of 5 of a guy saying, I'm going to review this because I stayed here last year and this is the year anniversary. And it was the worst and most harrowing experience of my life.
Harrowing. That's a great word
right
there.
Especially
like
because
a dude felt compelled a year later to go back and leave a review.
So we had an inclination after one of the nights staying there to be like, I wonder if this place is haunted. And sure enough,
I looked it up.
Robbie looked it up.
It comes up on one of the top 10 haunted
most
places.
Haunted places in Los Angeles.
Number 4.
So,
Number 7 did shock us.
So the thing is that, you know, when you read through what it was this old guy named Hank who the owner of the bar.
The bar that's
attached to the hotel, which is a absolute dive bar, and God bless him for it because I love dive bars. But it's called Hank's Bar, and they say that every once in a while Hank will show up.
Doesn't do anything malicious, just shows up.
Just shows up and says hi.
Can't blame for him. Yeah, yep. Sounds cool.
So the night that I'm editing the show, it usually takes me all damn night. It's going to take me all night tonight, I know, to edit this show. But usually the process takes a while. So, you know, we had a very busy day at E3. Everyone was exhausted.
Yeah.
You guys very quickly fell asleep, mm-hmm. and I was working on headphones so as not to disturb you. So the room was pretty much pitch black, except for the TV, which was playing Futurama.
Yeah.
And so I'm working on the show, and every once in a while I need to kind of just take a break and you know, unfocus my eyes or, you know, zone out to Futurama or whatever it is. And as I'm working, I've got my headphones on, and I feel a very light tap on my shoulder, and I turned around to, you know, thinking that it was like someone who needed to get by, because I was sitting in the chair, and there's just not a whole lot of square footage that mm-hmm. exists in that room.
No,
so,
if it would have had to been like Christine or Robbie, they wouldn't have been able to get past you.
Right, and I'm pretty sure that Robbie was sleeping on the floor, so if yeah. somebody needed to get by, they might have needed to tap me on the shoulder. And so I'm like, okay, everyone is just dead ass asleep. Like, okay, that was weird. And I'm like thinking, like, maybe it's like a muscle twitch because I've been carrying a bag around all day or
it's
whatever.
It's late. You're tired. We've been working all day. We've been traveling.
Exactly. Yeah. Couple minutes later, happens again. Same shoulder. And I'm like, man, that's so weird. It doesn't feel like a muscle twitch because I know what muscle twitches feel like.
Yeah.
It feels like someone tapping me on the shoulder. And it keeps happening. And at some point, I realize that the computer that I've set up in front of is right in front of the mirror for the room. It's a shitty mirror. Everything in the room is shitty. I'm just making sure that that's clear because everything was terrible about it. But I'm sitting in front of this shitty mirror. And so the taps would keep happening, and I'd just look up into the mirror. No one's there. No one's trying to get my attention.
Yeah.
Nothing. And it got to the point where it was annoying. It started to irritate me. And I think I even tweeted, like, this fucking ghost better tell me what it wants or just shut up and let me work. The last time that it happened, it was two taps on this shoulder, one tap on this. And I'm like, that can't even be muscle spasms. That definitely can't be muscle spasms. What the fuck is going on? And that was my encounter with the
Hank,
ghost.
Hank yeah, was just like, quit talking shit.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I don't know
what the hell it was, but it, combined with your story and Kooky's story, see, ghosts don't fuck with me because I talk a lot of shit. And basically,
Wait, you talk a lot of shit, so ghosts are like, I'm not dealing with that. No,
that's
absolutely
right. Because
not.
If I
don't want
dude,
to put us on
put,
blast on
right,
his radio
I put
show,
slander on your name. You know what I'm saying? Even you know what I'm saying? Post mortem. I'm serious out here, man. I don't give a fuck about ghosts.
I don't think that ghosts give a fuck about you either. That's not how that works.
Yes,
you're
does.
Fucking like Mushu. Dishonor. You that's, dishonor on your family, dishonor on your cow.
All of that shit. I'm talking about people, ancestors. I don't care. What I'm saying is that ghost started fucking with you because you was trying to accomplish something important, right? And the ghost start fucking with Kooky because Kooky is also trying to help us all achieve something important. The three of us wasn't doing shit important at that time.
No, we were sleeping.
And so it left us alone. I think Hank
screaming in the middle of the night is that's
terrifying.
Is pretty terrifying.
I would I would wake up. I would, like, I'm not gonna lie. When we first walked into that room, the thought that ran through my head was, how much would it cost me to get my own room somewhere else? Do I have that money in
Joe,
my bank account? The thought was in my head.
I
like,
got that close.
Because I like, Norris, I'm like, thinking like, Norris would absolutely go halfsies with me.
I would go halfsies.
Like, we could do this. And then I thought, like, it is E3 weekend and we're in the middle of downtown LA.
Here's
we
the,
can't
we
afford
can't
it.
Afford.
It's not, yeah,
here's
it's
the
not
problem.
Be
Had
possible.
You guys done that and me and Nate took that room, you'd show up the next morning to us murdered.
That's true. That's true.
That's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so Joe, why don't you go ahead and read your review that you left
this is my
for the Stillwell Hotel.
How many people have found it helpful as of now?
Last time I saw it was like 42.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's up from the 33 from last week.
Wait. You've gotten more good reviews on your review than we've gotten on our podcast?
No, we're up to 66 total reviews.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Whew. All right. So if you want to stay in a place that looks like it was built in the 20s and fulfills the Grand Theft Auto safe house fantasy, then congratulations, your search is over.
That's it?
That is it. It's simple.
And 42
fair enough.
Wow.
I found that useful.
Yeah, man, there are some, like the one stars on here.
How
are
brutal?
So
how
good.
How brutal are they?
Nice staff, but immediate smell when you walk into the lobby and bedroom.
See, that
found
checks
bed
out. That checks out.
Found bed bugs in bed and immediately left. Staff was understanding and initiated refund.
Oh, nice. Good
damn.
Staff.
All bad experience from having to go down three times in a row to reactivate key and it never worked. Hotel attendant having to unlock door for us because she can't activate the car properly and expecting us to accept not having a key.
Ooh, that would drive me fucking crazy.
Norris, this one's for you and me. There was discussion about sleeping in the car, but I guess it's nice that we didn't get murdered in the plastic-wrapped room after such an unfriendly welcome at the front desk.
See, I feel like 2 out of 5 stars is like the perfect score for it, because it could have been worse. We could have been murdered.
We could have died.
Yeah.
But I just don't know that I want that to be my bar.
You can't give 1 star if you're fucking dead.
That,
so,
you know,
1 star is like abject, you know what I'm saying, just horribleness. This was 1.5.
If you only
give the 0.5 because they had more towels for us when we went to go ask.
If you walked into the room and it was actively on fire, then you could probably drop it down to a 1 star.
This is a great 5-star review of the Stillwell Hotel.
Okay.
Which says, it's an older hotel, but the room is perfect if you don't plan on spending much time in your hotel room.
That's actually kind of fair.
That's pretty much what we said.
We didn't spend a ton of time there, and it was pretty okay. As I itch, as I'm now starting to think of bed bugs. Fuck.
1 out of 5.
It's a psychosomatic thing.
It is.
It totally is.
Definitely a cheap hotel. Guests have to leave IDs with the front desk if they go in the room. The door locks after 6. We didn't have a trash can in the room. You get what you pay for, basically. We paid a lot for that hotel room.
And that's the thing. You would think that $300 additional to be able to let 2 more people stay there would have been worth like a turn down service or like changing the towels unrequested. No, they did that the last day. No one set foot into that place.
$300 extra for that? No, bro.
I'll be honest with you. Kind of relieved on that because I wasn't sure if someone did enter and they saw like the gear that we had, whether it would still be there or not. That was something that kind of concerned me. So I tried to like put all of my dirty clothes on top of it and make it just look
staying at the damn Hilton, I wouldn't necessarily be feeling like, oh, I can't leave my shit in here. So like
That's true. Every day
I was taking all of my stuff with me and I didn't necessarily need to do that, but I for damn sure wasn't about to leave it for the whole 4 or 5 days we're out there in the room. Fuck that.
We stayed for one night just trying to get a good rest after traveling and woke up at 4 a.m. covered in spider bites.
Oh my god.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
That's horrifying.
Dude.
See, it could get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, compared to these stories, we got really lucky.
We got super lucky.
Almost every place, every review that's 1 star says bed bugs.
Wow.
Spiders.
Yikes.
We did not have bed bugs, spiders, just ghosts.
Just shit room. Just ghosts and...
Disaster Jensen in the Twitch chat says, I live 1.5 hours away. Well, go check it out, buddy. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Go check it out, Danny. Tell us what you think.
Go ask to tour a room.
No, stay in a room. You have to get the experience.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. We didn't get a chance to check out Hank's bar. Could you check that out for us too?
This person says 1 out of 5. If I could rate a 0, I would. Small room, which would have been suitable. However, they put us in a room that didn't have a functional bathroom.
Oh my god. Oh my god, dude.
How is this building still standing?
How is no authority that you know, like the health
like
department
yeah, the health
come in
department,
and shut this shit down?
HUD. Like,
dear God, I got that
creepy, like, spider feeling all over me now.
I do, too.
Oh, wait,
here we go. This one's from Mark Henry, who gives it 1 out of 5. Says, who are you going to call? Hopefully not these guys. I booked them because it was close to some business I needed to attend. It literally looked like something out of the 84 movie Ghostbusters. Like, early 1900s look, and you almost felt those demon dogs attacking you.
Yeah, that's fairly goddamn accurate.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the demon dogs in there.
Yeah,
Zool and fucking Vince Clortho showing up. You're like, Jesus.
Yeah. So how many stars do you give it, Norris? 1 out of 5? You're giving it a 0.
1.5.
Oh, 1.5. What about you, Nate?
I'd give it, I'd give it a 2. I'd actually probably stay there again.
The fuck is wrong with you?
Like, even if you had other choices?
If you didn't have anyone else staying with you?
Shittiness doesn't really bother me all that much. But I'm more entertained by it than anything. All right, cool.
You know what? You can keep the bed bugs over your shit.
That's where I draw the line, though. Honestly, if it has bed bugs, I'm not doing it.
You ain't taking no girls back to that room, though.
Right. That's true.
Two cats yelling in the chat says, as Nate keeps scratching.
I know! I keep thinking about it! It's terrible! It's worked its way into my fucking brain now.
No! Shinsuke Nakamura was injured. No, sorry.
Yeah, he got bit by a police dog.
Yeah, he got bit by a police dog. That's insane.
What is that? That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, okay. That was random.
Very random. That was our experience at the Stillwell Hotel in Los Angeles.
Do not recommend.
I'm still kind of shocked that we didn't run into, you know, the ghost of like Sid and Nancy overdosing on heroin.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
maybe. Well, Christine might have.
I mean, that maybe that's what you heard. You heard the ghost of Sid and Nancy fighting, because it definitely feels like a hotel that they would have overdosed on heroin in.
Disaster Jensen, Nate has too much depression to care about bad hotel rooms.
I just don't. I mean, like, honestly, like, shitty things don't bother me. Like, I like the extension cord thing, that
whatever,
was
that
hilarious.
I could care less, yeah,
to me.
I agree.
But I do draw the line. Like, I draw a hard line at bed bugs. And if our room had bed bugs, we definitely would not have stayed there.
Girl I was dating a few years back, we got a hotel room for the weekend. You know, we went, checked out the room. It was, you know, we paid for a nicer room, a nicer hotel. We want to have a good time.
Have a good time. All right.
Smash!
Getting out of...
Well done.
Outstanding.
Well done.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Absolutely impeccable application of the drop word.
Getting out of the shower, she grabs a towel and grabs it, and as it opens...
Oh, no.
No less than 2,000 spiders fall right out of it. All over us. Yeah. All over.
Dude, no.
I'm sorry. That is like my biggest fear in all of everything.
After escaping the bathroom, we went and sat on the bed for a minute and just sat there like
traumatized.
Processing it. Like, no words were exchanged. We didn't look at each other. We didn't look at it. We just looked through the wall.
I can't even imagine, because even though it's never happened to me, I have this weird thing of like, if I'm out of the shower, I just, for some reason, I check both sides of my towel. Just no bugs.
You want a better spider story?
No, I don't.
Jesus.
When I was 12, I was helping my dad take the dogs out. We breed dogs, so we were taking them outside because it was raining. So I went downstairs and I grabbed his big, heavy coat that he has. And I did not know that he had not worn that coat in about 8 months now.
Uh-oh.
And sure enough, built into both the sleeves now were spider nests.
Oh,
yeah.
What'd you do? I mean, like, when you pulled your arm back,
he cried.
Well, first of all, I got it on, felt the crawling, and then they started coming up around here and down my chest. And I'm like, oh my God.
No.
And I lost my mind.
Cried.
I've never more accurately used the phrase stop, drop, roll.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happened. Like, it was like, ripped that thing off on the ground, freaking out. And yeah, I started crying.
Stop this conversation. I don't want to talk about this.
Did someone get the hose? Like, how do you, what the fuck?
I had to run out. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
That is terrifying.
I can laugh now, but there was a good year where I just put that out of my mind. I couldn't think about it.
Put that somewhere deep down inside your brain to forget. Yeah.
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 I don't fuck with no spiders, though.
No, man, it wasn't good.
That is not fun.
If it's got more than four legs, I don't fuck with it.
That is not fun. Kelly says,
no wonder you got bit inside the ear by a spider.
That also happened. I had a spider bite the inside of my ear one time.
Good luck when you guys leave here, because it's muggy, it's humid, and it's fish fly season. So.
Oh my God. Just coming in, there was fish flies everywhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My car's going to be covered in them. It's not going to be pleasant. Just to warn you. Just fair warning. All right. There we go. That's our review of the Stillwell Hotel. Never stay there if you're in LA.
Never stay there.
If you're a paranormal investigator, though, maybe you should.
Maybe you should.
It seems like a
pretty good hotspot. But thanks, hotels.com. We appreciate you booking us in such wonderful accommodations.
Nah, that's all right. Don't put that on hotels.
Oh man, if you just Google Stillwell Hotel, haunted is the first suggestion.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Where nightmares are made.
That also sounds about right. Anyway, all right. I mean, in more ways than one, really. Like, not just like ghost nightmares, but like bug nightmares,
murder
cleanly
nightmares.
Yeah, murder.
Weird people in the grates nightmares.
To be honest, the fact that we were chiefing in the room may have kept the murderers away.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah, you never really know.
I'm glad I got to do those edibles, because if I had woken up to like ghosts or some shit, I'd have lost my mind. I would not have handled that well.
I would not
really, Joe?
I would not have handled that.
However, but because of the edibles, waking up high to ghosts, it would have been just like, hey, what's up, man?
Well, I just slept like a rock.
What you doing?
Interestingly, so the, on that list of the most haunted hotels in LA,
yeah,
the Hotel Figueroa is on there as well, which is where I did the Smatch Z interview.
Oh, is that
yeah,
right?
And yeah, there were some creepy ass hallways in there.
Fair enough.
That's why I felt like I was going to be murdered.
All right, let's talk about what we were talking about this week on the radio show. We started off with an interesting question. Is the ever-shifting meta in esports a good or a bad thing? And I thought that this was a really interesting question, because it really is no good parallel for this in traditional sports, but it's something that happens all the time in esports.
And to varying degrees as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think even just putting the question out there, whether having, a constantly shifting meta is a good or a bad thing, I do think that it's a good thing. It's what makes esports a little bit more interesting and dynamic than traditional sports, and I like it for that aspect. But at the same time, I can also understand why that's a difficult environment for pros to be able to try to acclimate themselves to all the time. It's a constantly shifting environment.
Yeah, and I really got to thinking about this with Double Lift talking about how frustrated he is with the current meta right now in League of Legends. There is almost no AD carry role anymore. It's his role he plays almost does not exist right now. There's about two of them that are viable to play, and they usually get banned because they're viable to play. So like, you're running into like weird, like if you're just a player, it's the greatest thing ever right now. Like, the meta is so weird, anything works. It's so weird.
But that I think that is an important part of the meta discussion, because that always happens. Anytime there's a big disruptive element, whether it's a new character getting added to the game, a shift in or change in rules, or a shift and change in some of the weightings of different move sets, all three of those things can have very, very big impacts on the meta. And there's always this period of time where people are trying to figure out what the new meta is, because obviously developers aren't going to come out and say what they want the new meta to be, because all communities do have a certain amount of say in where that meta goes, because it's based on what people, what strategies are being employed most commonly.
I think it is. There are some parallels to traditional sports, but I just think because they move so slowly that you can't necessarily put them really in the same ballpark. But I think there are similarities, and I think when you look at it through that lens, it makes it a lot easier, I think, for the layman to understand. Because if you just say it, you know, the surface, there was an update today, and now, oh my God, the meta has shifted drastically. To the average person isn't going to get that.
Right.
But if I say, hey guys, all the football fields in the NFL have been made 3 feet narrower, you will say, oh man, that might change up entire formations. That could change up, you may look for speedy darting post routes instead of fly routes.
Yeah.
That could change a lot of stuff. So,
right.
I mean, it's analogous, but it takes so much longer to see the effects and the consequences in traditional
speaking
sports.
Of effects and consequences, one of the most interesting things, and Nate, you kind of just mentioned something too about the way that people perceive the meta and certain changes. You know, the biggest, I think, shakeup in the Overwatch League this past season was the Mercy change from stage one going into stage two.
Yeah.
She had like a 95%+ pick rate in stage one. In stage two, that dropped down to like 40% or 50%.
You saw way more Lucios.
Did you know in stage three, she popped back up to 95% with no other changes?
No.
Yeah.
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 Because people figured out the meta, and Mercy is still Mercy. Like, that character still fills a role that no other character fills.
People were so concerned with, oh, she's being picked too much, but, she ended up coming back in season three just as much.
And that's kind of the fickle, that's sort of the fickle part of any meta, where there's this sort of like sentiment does have a certain amount of sway 100%. In dictating what the meta is.
Certain meta just becomes fashionable. Like you have, you'll have a team
that's true.
That becomes good at a certain composition, or you'll have a character that has a certain moveset that people really start to gravitate towards, and it becomes fashionable. And it's a lot less about the data and more about, like, this is visually, to me, what looks like works. You know, what looks like, you know, is effective.
Why you get
pro players are sheep. A lot of the time, pro players are just sheep. What one person does, they'll say, oh, that's what's the meta, let's do it.
Well,
you see it from region to region, because, sure, there might be an established meta in North America. It's completely different when you watch LCK or
but
LPL.
Is the meta actually dictated by the pro scene? I don't know that it always is.
No.
A lot of it is just dictated by the comp scene.
It's dictated by the community. Yeah,
exactly. There's a lot of, you know, forums and discussion boards where all of this kind of stuff is kind of sussed out.
And there's more data, and there's more statistics to aggregate from the comp scene.
Right.
If you and we've had this argument before on the show, when you're talking about, you know, balancing your game for the pro scene, you run the risk of alienating your consumer base,
yes.
the base that gives you all the fucking money,
right.
which is the comp scene and your community scene. So that's really what you balance for, and the pro scene works off that.
Yeah. We also talk about the latest in esports news, as well as the AI that competed last year in the international on a 1v1 map is coming back and now running a full team.
It's ready to run a 5v5, pick your characters and go.
We're all going to die.
Hold on. Here's a question I have, because I feel like the pick and ban phase is going to be the most interesting part for me, because when you have two human teams that are going up against each other, you've done research on that team, and you might know, like, you know, they're a mid laner. If he gets this particular character, he's going to destroy us. We have to make sure to ban it. Was in the 180 years of its training, you know, like, I mean, is this going to have specific information on the team they're playing?
I think that the answer to beating this AI is the same answer that we've always had to beating machines, which is use nonsense.
Yep.
Use the picks that seem like they wouldn't make sense, right? Like, go anti-logic, go chaos.
Name one character in League.
What do you mean? What?
Like, I was waiting for you to, like, picking off meta character, but I was trying to think of my one myself, and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know any characters in League.
Meta characters.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, if you go at it with the thing that makes us fundamentally human, you know what I mean? Like, that's the only way to get an advantage.
Yeah.
Because then it can't predict you.
I guess Xin Zhao's super played right now too.
Damn,
I'm telling you, the current
meta
is insane.
Everything is played right now.
The current meta is weird. I don't know what you would if this was being developed for League of Legends. I don't even know how you'd approach that. Dota 2 is complicated enough.
Yeah.
I'm super excited, though, to watch this, because I think we're about to see a human team just get stomped.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with what you said on the show, Norris. This is just how Skynet starts.
It's going to be gamers.
Yeah. This is going to be the system that's gunning us down in the streets in about 10 years. So.
Oh, yeah, that's figured
out. And we're
going
to be like, you didn't take esports seriously. This is what you get.
I'm just saying, like, you might want to tune in to get to know our new
robot
overlords. Yeah, exactly. We also talk about... we described game characters badly.
Yeah, we played a new game.
This was actually extremely fun. Joe,
we start a new hashtag. This is a new worldwide trend.
Joe, kudos.
We're gonna make it a thing.
To you for coming up. Well, actually, and half to your girlfriend. She helped. So kudos to both of you for coming up with these, because these were really good.
Yeah, I mean, again, I looked... full disclosure, one of the reasons I picked this is because last time we did this game, I basically just got to steal it from someone else and I didn't have to do any work.
Yeah.
So I was great, we'll do that again.
You'd be able to do that again.
I thought, I'll just duplicate. I'm going to chase that dream. No. This time, I Googled it. I found, like, two Reddit threads, which had a maximum of, like, five responses and didn't have the answers. And I'm like... All right, well, that sucks.
That's funny.
Yeah, so... but I like what you came up with. I mean, those were really
good.
Those were really good.
And that, I mean, it was fun to do. It's always a fun bit, just describe something awfully.
What's the next one we're going to do?
Ooh.
Oh.
Describe, I don't know. That's
what can we describe badly next? I'll tell you, as a spoiler, one bit that we're going to be doing soon is we're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Oh yeah,
video game
I like that.
Oh, we got to.
I think it was Wed, bed, and behead
is what we'll call it to avoid FCC fines.
Yeah,
I think fuck, marry, kill probably gets in trouble.
I like that. I also like the really stupid idea that we had come up with during one of the breaks on the show.
Yeah, checkpoint through the ages. Checkpoint time capsule. That's another good name for it.
Yeah. You guys can look forward to that. We're going to dig through some of the extensive Checkpoint Radio archives to find you some exclusive coverage of years of gaming gone by. I'm looking forward to that because that seems like it's going to be really stupid and fun. We also talk about the CEO and Red Bull tournaments. This is really unique, the way that CEO is structuring their tournament that's going on in Daytona.
That is this weekend.
For those that are listening in Florida, it's Saturday when the podcast comes out. Mm-hmm. I think it's still going on Sunday, right? It goes through the entire
weekend.
I think finals are Sunday.
Yeah. So if you can't get tickets, which I don't know what the ticket availability is, you can definitely still watch it on Twitch. So make sure you check it out, because I think that this is going to be a really cool event, especially because of the New Japan Pro Wrestling tie-in that they have. And Kenny Omega is going to be out there, but not just Kenny Omega. Some of their largest stars in the entire wrestling promotion are coming out for this. And I think that that is really cool to see, you know, because New Japan Pro Wrestling is a really big wrestling promotion.
And it's a really good one.
It is. And maybe one of the last really good ones. And to see them embracing esports like that is, I think, really a very cool thing. Do we have Kenny Omega to thank for all of that? Do you think that he's the one who's really
pushed it?
I think he pushed it, but I think, you know, you can't deny, you know, what Xavier Woods has done in sort of like clashing those two cultures together.
Yeah.
Up, down. I think that's, you can't deny somebody having, you know, like 1.3 million subscribers and, you know, pushing that type of message out there.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I'm going to be really curious to check it out. I know that, it's going to be on Twitch, right?
The NJPW event?
No, the just CEO.
Yeah.
Well, what about the New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I will find out for you.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to know if they're going to put that on Twitch as well. I mean, there is an entirely, there's a whole category for wrestling, so why not?
Why not?
Yeah. We also talk about the Red Bull event that Ninja's doing out in Chicago. This seems like a really cool and unique event, like throwing back to the overnight lock-ins that you would have at LAN arcades. Mm-hmm. Man, I miss those days. Like, you want to talk about a great era.
You remember Alpha Base? Have you ever been to Alpha Base? It used to be at Wayne State's campus.
No.
Right there, Woodward and Warren.
No.
And It was a LAN party. It was a permanent LAN party. It was an internet cafe that just ended up getting turned into a fucking Counter-Strike factory.
Well, I mean, like, when I got super deep into gaming, I was in college. I mean, I definitely still played games in high school, but I was also in a band and like trying to be a musician and like I had a lot of my attention was very unfocused, right? Mm-hmm. And so like I don't think that a LAN arcade would have been something that I would have
went to there.
It would have been probably 04, 05, or 06 before I would have been interested in that.
Yeah, this was before then.
Yeah. No, I definitely did not hang out in LAN arcades during the early days. But I did go to plenty of LAN arcades once they started making their way to Mount Pleasant. That was very cool.
So the event will be on CEO's official Twitch channel.
Nice.
8 p.m. Eastern on June 29th.
Nice.
The main event is the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi versus Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi.
Oh, that sounds like a great match.
God, I want to see that match.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We're going to be able to watch it on Twitch, so that's pretty exciting. So if you're listening to this episode when it comes out on Saturday, make sure you check out the CEO official Twitch stream to be able to check out all of the New Japan Pro Wrestling stuff that they've got going on. We also talk about the latest in gaming news and physical games media dying. It's potentially going away by 2022.
Now, here's something I wanted to actually ask you, Nate, after we got off this topic, and I thought about your beautiful collection of games that you have sitting out there on both sides of your TV. I mean, like when the next... all right, let's go to a fantasy realm here for a minute. And imagine that Final Fantasy, that Square Enix comes out with the next great Final Fantasy. You wouldn't like to be able to put it up there next to all your other ones?
Nah, not really.
No? Okay.
No, I mean, I've kind of let go of the idea of needing to own it physically. Like, there was definitely a time in my life where that manipulative advertising tactic, Robbie, that you just tried on me, that would have worked, right? I have all of these vinyl records behind Joe to be able to prove it, right? That's thousands of dollars that I have paid for records that sound like they were recorded with a 4-track and tin cans, okay? Literally, the recordings
sounds so good.
Do not. They almost can barely be called bands. Okay?
My dad was trying to convince me of that crap, that those records sound better than what you have today. I'm like,
no,
I doubt that.
Let me explain.
Not today. Maybe when you listened on CDs and they skipped.
Stop. Let me explain how this works. Okay, if you have digitized the recording at any point in the process, if you recorded it digitally, if you remastered it digitally, it sounds exactly the same whether you're listening to it on vinyl or whether you're listening to it on digital. The only way that a recording sounds different pressed onto vinyl is if it has been recorded analog the entire process. At no point was it digitalized. That's impossible to basically find in 2018. That leaves the records when they were made. And good luck finding an unscratched copy of that shit. So now you've got to deal with all the clicks and pops and hisses and all of that. There's no way. There's no record that sounds better in 2018 than a digital recording. Sorry, it's just factually, the facts are just not on your side.
I'll relay the message.
Anyway,
settle down, old man.
Let me just to bottom line that, all of those records sitting behind Joe, they're all hipster bullshit. They're all hipster bullshit, and all collector's editions are video game hipster bullshit. So that's what physical gaming media is going to be. It's going to be an extension of gaming hipster bullshit. There you good. Go.
I mean, that's your opinion.
Welcome.
You're entitled
right.
to it.
You're welcome. Anyway. Also, we talk about why BioWare sucks.
Yeah, a lot.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered everything that we needed to in that one, didn't we? Yeah.
It's sad because they literally, man. Yeah,
they're one of the greats.
Such a fuck-ass company.
It really is disappointing. It really is disappointing.
To just gut what was probably one of the last great, you know, developers.
Because let's be honest, we're down to Bethesda and Blizzard.
And we talked off air
as like the great old ones.
I'll put Capcom up there because they're still going. Okay, I'll put Capcom up there because they're still going. And they got a classic in them every now and then. And if they can do that for 20 more years, they'll be an all-time great.
I'm just trying to think. What did Capcom make back in the NES era?
NES?
Yeah, NES. 8-bit. Trying to remember back that
Mega Man?
Bionic
Commander.
Mega Man. No, Mega Man. That was the right answer.
Yeah, that was the right answer.
Okay, so yeah, they do have a very prominent series in every single era that I can think of.
Yeah, that's fair.
Konami has fallen. Square Enix has fallen. EA
probably gone. Never even. Rareware's off the board.
Rareware's gone. Origin's gone.
all the gone.
All the great old guard has fallen.
It's true.
Yeah.
What very else? Little of that
so
old guard remains.
So literally, it is Nintendo and Capcom.
And Blizzard. And Bethesda.
I mean,
Bethesda's even not that old.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying of the old Arena.
What year did Arena come out? That was like 89?
Oh, they're older than I thought.
I was going to say, because Blizzard's 94. That was Warcraft. That was the first Warcraft.
All right, so Blizzard's younger than I thought.
I'll put Bethesda in there. Mm-hmm. So you got to.
I'm sorry. Arena came out in 94. Holy shit, 94.
But still, right. I'll put Bethesda in there. 94.
Just as old as Blizzard.
Yeah. I would definitely say that they belong in that conversation.
Just barely. Yeah. They just eked in there. Yeah.
Let's see. We also talk about patents. Hashtag patents.
A more interesting conversation than it sounds, by the way.
We didn't get to mention on the show, but there's another lawsuit coming up now between Bethesda and Warner Brothers. That's getting ready to happen. Warner Brothers put out their Westworld game.
Mobile game
Developed by Behavior.
I read this.
An awful lot Like Fallout Shelter.
Okay. Yeah.
Who was, that's all, be was also made by Behavior. And Bethesda claims that they own the intellectual property rights on everything that came from that. So
that may be a slightly different issue, because that comes to licensing a third-party company to be able to design something.
Yep.
And I think what the claim there is like, you didn't do your due diligence for this Westworld game, because you basically just took our game and copy and pasted.
Yeah.
That's, I think, a very different...
It is. It's totally different. Okay. It was just worth mentioning.
Yeah, definitely. And then we wrap up today asking you guys on social media, which, by the way, you can follow at CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, what your favorite era in gaming was. And a lot of really fascinating responses. And
you can tell how old our audience
is. I know, right? Like, one of the responses is specifically citing 1994 as the greatest year in gaming. And I mean,
hard to argue with, too.
It really is hard to argue with. You throw Elder Scrolls Arena in there as well, which we just learned came out in 1994. Yeah. And Warcraft. I think he cited Warcraft.
Okay, okay.
He did. But I mean, like, there's a lot that happened in 1994 that was very transformative for video games. And it was. And if you want to get in on that, make sure that you follow us on social media. Again, check PT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's it. We're out of time for today. I want to thank everyone for joining us for Checkpoint Radio Podcast. CheckpointRadio.com is where you can find out more info about the show, as well as full episodes on demand, posted every Tuesdays, interviews from past episodes, and much more. That's all over at CheckpointRadio.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. And if you want to watch this show be recorded live, follow us on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointRadio. Checkpoint Radio is a production of Westwood One. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Big thanks to our producers, Rick Scott, Kevin Graham, and Christine Corpus. For the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, I'm Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint Radio Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointRadio.com.